The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I got some bizarre stories to tell you about in The Big Lead. Have you heard about this school out in Edmonds? This K-8 school?
What about it?
I've just got some details today. I'm going to go more in depth tomorrow. They just spent $50 million building a new K-8 school in Edmonds. Mm-hmm. It's all set for the kids this coming fall, but they're not going to be allowed to move in this coming fall.
Why?
Because there's some dispute with the local water district. They can't get together on something. And so they spend $50 million, one government agency, building the school. And here's another government agency, this water district. And it says something, I'm going through all the legal documents here, but it has something to do with the water runoff. And
so what's going to happen to all those kids?
They have to go to some closed school temporarily. And then whenever they reach an agreement with the water district, then they're going to have to move all of them to the brand new school. And I wonder how much that's going to cost taxpayers.
Not to mention how disruptive that could
be. Just, it is a classic example of local government bureaucracy. So I'm going to have that for you in a few minutes. But the Sound Transit lawsuit is pretty interesting stuff. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Well, I've been telling you for 22 years now that Sound Transit is the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States. I am not engaging in hyperbole. I truly believe that. Hopefully, some of that will come out when this class action lawsuit that has been filed against Sound Transit goes to court. One of the people who's supporting this lawsuit is State Senator Phil Fortunato, who joins us here on Cairo Radio. Senator, always good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so we have about seven residents in the Puget Sound area who have united in this class action lawsuit. What can you tell me about it?
They voted a bill that referenced a NVET schedule that was repealed 10 years prior. So the only way that you could have known what that NVET schedule was to have a 10-year-old set of laws to look it up. So if they wanted to use that schedule, they would have had to incorporate it into the actual piece of legislation so people could see what they're voting on.
So, okay, so what you're talking about is the illegal way that Sound Transit calculates the value of vehicles. They can overtax people.
Well, what I'm talking about is the incorporation of that particular schedule.
Right.
By reference. So, hey, oh, we're including by reference RCW whatever. But the only reason, the only way that you would know that that was repealed was to try to look it up. I mean, it's not uncommon to have a piece of legislation that refers to an RCW. But the RCW is current law, not something that was repealed 10 years prior. So you mentioned the fact that you think this is the most corrupt organization. I agree 100%. There's nothing that these people could tell me that I will believe. Everything they tell me is fraught with deception. And so when they wrote this bill, so the question comes in is, did they know this purposely going in? And I believe it's not outside the realm of possibility that that was the case.
Okay. And so how much, I saw a figure that they have overtaxed people an estimated $240 million by using this revoked taxation schedule. Is that right?
Well, that's about the total amount of money they've collected so far.
Right.
So we're saying that, okay, if the thing was illegal to begin with, the law is invalidated, we want our money back.
And Sound Transit, of course, says that if they have to start paying back hundreds of millions and cancel out future billions in illegal taxation, they won't be able to deliver what they promised to the voters.
Right, which is true, which is would be a godsend to us, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not a big transit person. I believe that you can't solve a 21st century problem with a 19th century technology. Transit can never reduce congestion, because if it did reduce congestion, people would then drive because the roads wouldn't be congested. And if this is overturned, if we are successful and this is overturned, they're going to be screaming that they have a whole bunch of projects out there. We already started this. We already issued these bonds. How are we going to fix it? I have the legislation to fix this. So I have a draft legislation that incorporates all the stuff that we already passed in the Senate and to deal with this. It modifies the, it has a opt-out provision. So if you're a city or area that you want to opt out of Sound Transit, you should have that right. It has an elected Sound Transit board. It modifies the MVET schedule if that's what they want to do. But remember, people would have to then vote again to approve this. So the whoever you elect this November and send to the legislature, they would have to vote on a Sound Transit fix.
Right.
So the question comes in is, who are you going to elect? You're going to elect people that are in the back pocket of Sound Transit or people that are in represent the taxpayer?
Well, they haven't done anything as an agency to represent the taxpayer for 22 years now. And the taxpayers keep voting yes on Sound Transit 2, Sound Transit 3. Why do you believe that after 22 years of being successfully bilked, why do you think the taxpayers all of a sudden are going to stand up to Sound Transit in their criminal ways?
Well, I mean, I don't know that for sure. All I know is that if we're successful, taxpayers are going to get another whack at it. And the polling shows that Sound Transit wouldn't be approved if it was ran today, even in downtown Seattle in some polls. So who knows? I mean, but the taxpayers deserve another whack, and certainly we deserve the right to opt out. I don't want to be paying my district is 65% in Pierce County. Pierce County people are paying for projects in King County, and the nexus that Sound Transit says is, well, if we move these people in King County, that's going to benefit people in Pierce County. That's the benefit Pierce County gets. So they purposely included my district, which voted 65% against Sound Transit, in order to get my taxpayers from my constituents to fund their projects.
Right.
So, I mean, the entire 31st District, we get a parking garage in Sumner. That's what we get for $54 billion.
Oh, I understand. Look, in my neighborhood, they're going to put in a parking garage as well, which is going to destroy the character of the little suburb I've lived in for 30 years now. Yeah, but the people of my neighborhood, I'm sure they would vote for it because it's they are very pro-transit neighborhood. And even if it's going to destroy the neighborhood, but Sound Transit doesn't care about any of that stuff. Sound Transit just wants to get their hands on this money any way they can.
Yeah. Well, and remember, most of this money is going to dirt to put train tracks on. So it's buying the most expensive right-of-way in the entire state. And by the way, when they do that, they are removing it from the tax rolls. Now, I can't figure out why if you build a road that hurts transfer education, but if you take all this land off the tax rolls, that transit doesn't hurt education.
Yeah, no, you're right. Every property they take through eminent domain will no longer be taxed, and it just goes on and on and on. Okay, so what's the next step for this lawsuit?
Well, I don't know. That's why we have, you know, the guys that are doing this, Joel and Joel Ard and Professor DeWolf are the brains behind this thing. I mean, the lawsuit is based on Professor DeWolf's testimony that he gave when we did those hearings. We had that investigative hearing. So a lot of the stuff that came out was the result of those hearings. And Professor DeWolf made the argument on how it was unconstitutional. So, and Joel Ard is, and him are also working on the 940, lawsuit. So these guys are great legal minds. So that's their bag. My thing is, and I believe they will be successful. If they are successful, what are we going to do to fix it? So, I mean, we are going to wind up getting stuck finishing these projects that they already have, but, we're no more new projects. Whatever projects you have, we'll spread that out, you know, amortize, we'll change the schedule. The amount of tax would be a lot less because we're only going to be paying for stuff they fixed, they started. And then if they want, they would have to do another Sound Transit 4 to extend it.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll see if the voters could be fooled yet again. All right, Senator Phil Fortunato, keep me posted as this thing moves forward.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your interest.
I'm very interested in anything that would take down Sound Transit. All right. Senator Phil Fortunato joining us. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Bizarro World.
We are in Bizarro World. We're in a world where if government pumps millions of gallons of untreated raw sewage into Puget Sound, big deal. It's only King County doing that. Let's move up to Snohomish County and talk about an absolutely insane dispute. A listener brought this to my attention. They are building, and I want to give credit to myedmondsnews.com that had this story. But there's a disagreement between the Edmonds School District and some water and sewer district up there. The Olympic View Water and Sewer District. So they're building, or have built, and it's almost ready to go, a new K through 8 school, the Madrona K through 8 school. 50 million tax dollars to build this school. 50 million. And they're all set for the kids to move in this fall. There's only one problem. The school district sent a letter to the families at this school yesterday and told them, you know what? Your kids are not going to be moving in to the brand new $50 million school this far. Instead, you're going to go to an old, shuttered, former Alderwood Middle School in Linwood to start the school year. And why? Because they can't reach an agreement with the Olympic View Water and Sewer District. And so I pulled up, thanks to this listener's tip, the regular business meeting of the Water and Sewer District. And I don't want to get too wonky on you here, but let me just read to you a little bit about this. The Edmonds School District has suggested the use of a mediator to move the negotiations between the district and Edmonds School District forward. Staff recommended a hydrogeologist be brought in instead of a mediator. And so they've picked a hydrogeologist. And so then I'm going to the hydrogeologist report. And it's about stormwater management system assessment. And like I said, I'm not going to get all into all the wonkiness of this. But how insane is it that they've built, and there's something in here, well, we can't guarantee the safety of the water in the school, and it has something to do with stormwater runoff as well. You're telling me, because when my wife and I built our house, the cost of government added well into the six figures, more so than what other equivalent governments around the country cost you. But, you know, the insane cost of just hooking up to water, hooking up to electric. And then we had to build this underground mitigation tank for our stormwater runoff. So all our downspouts tied into that and perf pipe around the garage and all of this stuff. We spent a fortune, as does every builder, and as does every homeowner who wants to build. You spend a fortune well into the six figures because of the cost of excess government around here. Now, remember, part of this is about stormwater runoff. Again, remember, King County, this is up in Snohomish County, but King County poured millions of gallons of raw sewage into Puget Sound because they can't manage a wastewater treatment plant. And Puget Sound's fine. They did a study and they said, you know, heaven forbid if you should, you know, have a drop of gasoline go into your lawn and somebody saw it, you'd get fined. But if the county wants to pump millions of gallons of raw sewage, then they just do a study a few months later. Oh, the sound's resilient. It's fine. No big deal. But think of the cost to the taxpayers. They build a $50 million school up there. It's all set for the kids to move in. And, you know, no offense to this shuttered Alderwood Middle School, but I've coached in the gym there, okay? And it ain't exactly a palace, as most shuttered schools tend to be. Non-palatial. But think of the insanity. So because of some dispute between the water district and the school district, all the kids got to go to some crappy shuttered middle school until they resolve this. And then at unbelievable taxpayer expense, then they're going to have to move all the students and staff to the new school instead of doing it this summer. You want to talk? You want a pure example of the inefficiency of government? You want a pure example of why taxes are so high? You want a pure example of why housing prices throughout this area are so high? Because of government. It is not purely a supply and demand issue around here. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah, like you didn't just hear one end. But this is my ongoing effort to reclaim our language. Headline this afternoon in the Seattle Times. Seattle moves one step closer to free transit for all public high school students. And that talks about how they have shuffled around funds to provide free Orca cards to all public high school kids in Seattle year-round. And this, of course, is the ongoing effort of local government to indoctrinate children into the socialist mindset that everything is free. Guess what? If I can just manage minimal standards when I get out of high school, community college will be free. Yay. And if I want to go anywhere during the school year or in the summertime, I'll just get on a bus or a Sound Transit train. You know why? Because it's free. And we'll participate in the free lunch program. We'll stand there holding our $700 iPhone while we're in line to pick up the free lunch. But it's free. Because when you live in a socialist paradise, like the Puget Sound area, everything is free. Hooray for where we live! Except, it then says in that Seattle Times second paragraph that Jenny Durkin's going to spend $7 million a year on the free Orca program. Gosh, where are you going to get those $7 million, Jenny? Robot? Oh, from the taxpayers. So, kids, if any of you are listening and you see the Seattle Times story about the free Orca card program, and you heard Jenny Durkin talking about the free Orca card program, and you hear the people at your school talk about how that's free, and college is free, and meals are free, and life is free, I just want to remind you from your pal Uncle Dory, who wants to give you some counterbalance so you don't live a life of dependency, the only free that all of this is freeloaders. Okay? Nothing is free. It just means other people's parents are paying for your life. And that ain't free. And that's your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Well, I can't remember the last time we got as many comments as we have on the audio that is our awesome audio of the day. Coming up next. You know that story you had in your newscast? You know, that was my nickname in middle school.
Little Munchkin?
Well, Munch.
No.
Yeah, because I learned this defense mechanism early on. Because, you know, I was 3 years younger than my classmates. I'd never seen Wizard of Oz. I didn't see Wizard of Oz until my wife and I had our girls. So I only saw it when I was 30 or so.
So you didn't really have the... everyone, context of Munchkin.
No, and everyone was appalled that I hadn't seen it. And I would even have people call my house. Wizard of Oz is starting when I was like, you know, 10, 11 years old. But I didn't, I wasn't interested. So, but because I was 3 years younger than my classmates, people would call me Dory Munchkin. See, get it?
Yeah.
And so the defense mechanism that I learned early on was, well, I'm going to make that something cool.
No, that's smart.
So I was Munch, the abbreviation of Munchkin. So if you look at my James Monroe Junior High School yearbook, you will see about half of the entries are addressed to Munch.
I love it. And then you could just play it off like, I like late night snacks.
I embrace this. I like being Munchkin.
Or you just like to have snacks.
Or that. Yeah. Okay, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
I only have time to play maybe one or two of these. And plus, I got very uncomfortable toward the end.
After you played 40 minutes worth.
Let me just say, if you want to hear the whole thing in context, check out the podcast. But yesterday, Ursula and then our program director got very angry voicemails from a big fan of the show named Diane.
Number three.
Now, these are all number one. I'm just going to scroll through a couple of few seconds of these.
Ursula, Diane, I've called you before. 425-79. I just heard you say to Dory, you know, no, not everybody thinks the way you do. Hey, you know, this guy is your boss. This is the guy who made this program that you came on, okay? You didn't make it. He did.
Okay. And look, our text messages are all saying exactly what I've said. And that is, I love you and Nicole. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nicole, too. Yeah. She had some for Nicole.
Get real, Ursula. And I will go on until I'm cut off about this because I am so peeved at you and that idiot producer, you know, overnight successes who don't go, you know, for 15 years and get the material and get the knowledge and the expertise that come in as so-called producers, and they think because they have a title, they know everything. And quit saying these things to Dory. Just because Dory and everything you say to him doesn't mean that, okay, he's the one running that show, and he's the one that...
I can't even listen to anymore.
I just want to apologize to Dan for, I really struck a nerve. Clearly. And I want to just tell my sweet friend Tracy, who's really feeling so sad for me.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Everyone's okay. We're all okay. You know why? I get this stuff every day. And what we do, we just shake it off. But thank you for loving on me so much, Diane. Okay, those are our favorite sound bites today. You can hear the whole thing on a podcast from the noon hour. But don't listen to it. It's awful. Today's Science coming up next. Stretch we come. What day of the show? What show of the day? Let's finish strong, shall we? With today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's sign, the world's soon coming to an end. Triple shot. It's just gotten to be pretty coarse in this world. Samantha Bee, who, of course, called Ivanka Trump the most vile word imaginable, the C word, when Ivanka Trump posted a horrible picture on Instagram of herself with a loving embrace of her 2-year-old son. And that, of course, led Samantha Bee on TBS to say,
Americans are finally paying attention. Well, most of us. Ivanka Trump, who works at the White House, chose to post the second most oblivious tweet we've seen this week. You know, Ivanka, that's a beautiful photo of you and your child, but let me just say, one mother to another, do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
Okay. And as you're about to hear, the audience went wild, laughing, applauding. Roseanne said something horrible on Twitter. She immediately got fired by ABC. Samantha Bee, she lost nothing. Well, a couple of advertisers are bailing, and her show is already doing horrible in the ratings. But TBS said they're standing by her. And by the way, a lot of people said after you hear the laughter of that comment, you know, the other thing that was offensive was the suggestion of Ivanka participating in, you know, a daddy-daughter thing. Right after that, she said that.
Beautiful photo of you and your child, but let me just say, one mother to another, do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless. He listens to you. Put on something tight and low-cut and tell your father to stop it. Tell him it was an Obama thing and see how it goes, okay?
Okay. And by the way, the immigration policy separating families is an Obama thing. It was the pictures that a lot of people were posting over the weekend were from 2014, but people like Samantha Bee don't care about stuff like that. Anyway, tonight, TBS says she will address her inexcusable comments. And maybe, I'm sure that it's just an attempt to boost her ratings and get a one-night bump tonight, because everybody's going to want to hear how she addresses it. But it does illustrate the horrible double standard in our society. Roseanne, rightfully, and yeah, there's no way Roseanne was going to survive such a racist tweet, nor should she have. But a liberal comedian saying something vile about a woman, well, that's perfectly acceptable these days. And the double standard is stark. All right, speaking of how coarse things are, this is on a subway in New York City where an African-American woman claims that an Asian woman kind of nudged her child to move over on a seat. That's a woman's voice, by the way. I saw the video, and this is a woman who's yelling. Hispanic. I think she said she's Hispanic. And she's yelling at an Asian woman.
He didn't get it for me, because my daughter black. Because my daughter black, he didn't get it for me to steal my daughter.
But she says she's Hispanic, but her daughter's black.
What am I saying wrong? What's calm? You playing with my kid? I was your kid to be okay with it? So, you.
Mind your language.
Mind your and move it. Before I kick you. I will move you off that seat, Charlie.
And as I'm watching this, I'm seeing this woman's 9-year-old daughter sitting next to her on a crowded subway car as mommy is just yelling, screaming. And I have no idea what the other woman did. But I know that this kid, this 9-year-old child, has almost no chance in this world. If your childhood days are spent looking at your mom screaming expletives at somebody on a crowded subway car. And by the way, what are we? We're into June now. It's warm in New York City. Those subways in the summertime, they're already hot and sticky and crowded. And everybody else on the subway car, one person surreptitiously recording this. And everyone else is just nervously looking away because that's what you've been trained to do. If you ride the subway in New York City, don't make eye contact. You make eye contact and you don't know what's going to happen to you. And so you see all of these poor, beaten down people. And they're just trying not to make eye contact at this madness that is taking place around them.
Now I'm off in the seat with my daughter. Push her. Push her. Push her. Go ahead and hit my daughter back. Push her off the seat. Go ahead. Move. Move that. Play with my daughter. Go play with my daughter. I got a child.
Yeah. You're not exactly setting the best example. And so this woman's claiming that the other woman, I guess, pushed aside or tried to slide over her child so she could sit down. And that's the same. And I know people go off if they think their child has been touched. But still, whatever offense the woman did trying to move the child, mom is She's making it so the kid has no chance. And I've told the story before. I'll finish with this instead of my third today's sign story. Oh, this is probably 10 years ago. I had to get something at Costco, and I just needed one or two things. So I got there right at the opening. You know, you sprint in when they roll up that garage door, and you just grab what you want, and you get to the line as fast as you can. You try to avoid the big, long lines. And I get up to the line, and there's like two people at the counter already, at the checkout counter. And then there's about a, 15-foot gap. And then there's a shopping cart kind of sideways with a kid sitting inside. And I don't see anybody around the shopping cart. And like I said, 15-foot gap. So I walk into the checkout line. And all of a sudden, a guy comes at me, his fist balled up. You don't touch my kid! You don't touch my kid! And I'm looking around to see who he's talking to, and he's coming at me. You don't touch my kid! My cart was next one in line! And I go, sir, I did not touch your... And I didn't. There might have been a couple people who went through... I mean, he put the kid in the cart as a placeholder in line, and the woman in front of me turns around, because she saw me just walk up behind her, and she says to the guy, sir, he did not touch your cart. Nobody's touched it. It hasn't moved. And he goes, you can't touch my car. You can't touch my kid. And I kind of started to laugh. And I go, man. And kind of like the woman on the subway. When she said, watch your language. And that just set the woman off. I go, hey, man, you got to chill. I got to chill. You got to chill. And he's screaming at the top of his lungs, and a Costco manager comes running up and kind of grabs the guy. Come on, sir. I'll open the checkout line for you. And I'm getting kind of ticked off. So somebody comes up, and I know their policy is just de-escalate. Somebody's creating a scene, being crazy. We'll just get them in and out of the store. But they did. They opened a checkout line and got, screaming dude. And his kid threw the line, and then he's walking out, and he's going to throw up on you in the parking lot. It was bizarre.
I don't know why you got to be angry all the time.
It's irrational, the things we have to deal with, whether it's in a subway car or in a Costco. And all that is today's sign, the end is near. And that's going to do it for us today. I got to get out of here. You want to hear all of those voicemails about Ursula and Nicole? Check out our podcast. It's a pretty interesting, amazing listen. Listen to the noon hour if you want to hear the whole thing. Okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to think up a bunch of new stuff to say for tomorrow's show. Ron and Don coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hey, up.
Sometimes I don't know why this old world can't leave well enough alone. The reasons that I can't stay don't have a thing to do with being in love. I understand that loving a man shouldn't have to be this rough. But you ain't the only one who feels like this world's left you far behind.
Shut your damn mouth, because we're not tuning in to hear you. Not at all. You could be replaced in a drop, and so could the producer, and no one would miss you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.